Everyone, we're doing something a little new today. We're going to do a round table discussion, and we said we need round tables, so we have our own COVID-friendly round table. And the spirit of this, so last week, while we were still waiting for questions, we had a good dialogue back and forth about just kind of the application points of the sermon, and I thought this would be good. We'll do this kind of as an experiment, just very live conversation with, how we doing, what are you learning, what's been difficult, what's been hard. They've gotten, like, no prep. I sent them an email last night. So it's live stuff. But before we get to that, I brought some stuff for show and tell. So if you missed this at the beginning of the service last week, let's remember what these are. Children at home, opinions. Did you type it in? I already beat you to it. Opinions. Okay, so that's review. And Tim, do you remember what this was?
Buckler.
It was a buckler. We got a buckler now. I've got a new item here. These things just showed up at the church. Do you know what this is?
Ooh.
Do you know what?
It's got to be a snare of some type.
Oh, good.
That's right.
Is that a bird snare?
This is, I'm told, a snare. I don't know if you can, maybe I need to hold up a white piece of paper and you can see that. See that a little better. I pictured a snare.
We haven't brought in any fowls this morning.
What did you picture a fowl or a snare looking like, Dave?
Well, I've never seen a chicken snare or a fowl snare or whatever, bird snare.
I mean, every time I was reading Psalm 91, I was picturing one of those Looney Tunes things.
Yeah, right.
Bear traps. Geez, yeah.
I've been watching Star Wars with my family, and it was like when Chewbacca goes for the meat and he goes up and takes them all with him.
But those Looney Tunes things would probably really crush that bird. Okay. And here we go. Can you see what this is? Which camera am I on? This one right here. This is a real live arrow. So here you go. Some props to help you memorize Psalm 91 and keep going. Edit Church has been really encouraging to see those videos being posted on Facebook. Great
yes.
activity for
yeah. Thank you, everyone who's done that.
Very impressive.
Takes a lot of work and not only to memorize it, but to then, do it in front of a camera. So thank you.
And it's not too late to sign up.
Yes. Yeah. Still got the, we're doing this for the month of May.
That's so right.
We got 2 weeks left. We got 2 weeks left.
Plenty of time.
Notice a lot of teenagers haven't done it yet because they like to procrastinate. So they're going to be getting, we're going to be seeing theirs. Yep. As the deadline gets closer.
Yeah. Okay, well, just want to have a roundtable discussion, kind of around how we're doing with this with the pandemic, just this the new normal, what we're calling it. And so, first question, I mean, what's been difficult for you in the midst of this? What's maybe most difficult, or what are some of those challenges if you feel like you're running into?
I have a picture. The first week, the pandemic hit, and I would, Ginny and I would take Chloe to the local playground at Goddard Park every week, sometimes multiple times a week. And I went there, it was a foggy day, and it was the first day all the yellow caution tape went up on all the slides.
Right, everything down, yeah.
And I just have a picture of it in the fog, and I think it'll capture kind of for a long time for me what it felt like, because it's just been disappointing, particularly the friendships, and the interactions that you miss, and sometimes kids wear on their sleeve what all of us feel, and it's sometimes been challenging for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Tim?
Well, I agree with what Dave said, and my parents, they're in a senior citizens center place, so we haven't been able to see them for a couple months, and they're not tech savvy, so we can't Zoom them, we can't FaceTime them, so that has been really hard. But it is the relational part, trying to do ministry over the computer and missing out, and just seeing how it's affected our high school seniors and everyone. It's, I just think we all miss that personal interaction.
Yeah, I think that's been hard. So we joke a lot around a lot that we're three extroverts, and so we're really suffering. But everyone is really feeling that disconnect, extrovert and introvert alike. There's just something about that human interaction. I think that
Absolutely.
That just kind of grounds us. I felt that first Sunday. You know, we went, the three of us went back and forth. Was it March 15th was our first
Yes.
Sunday closed, and we worked all week to have a plan for church to be to be open, and the reality kept changing one day, and you know,
that's right. 4 o'clock on Friday, we finally made the decision.
It was, that's it, we're done, and I had I had prepared that sermon to preach to people, and my heart was beating more before that first Sunday than I think I would be in front of 1,000 people, because you feel the weight of the camera on you, and you know, we just we need those relationships and those people, you know, maybe to anchor us to, hey, this is you're with me, you're not with me. Ben, my son, and I shot a video, I think, on Saturday. So we canceled church Friday. I think I came up here on a Saturday, did some sort of video, and it'd be interesting to look at that video versus what we're doing now, because that was had to be perfect. We did maybe 12 different takes of what was probably a 2-minute video to get it perfect, to get it just right. And there's a learning curve. So I feel that disconnection in relationships. I feel that disconnection here. And I agree with you, Tim. It's hard to see others struggling. We have the benefit, I suppose, of at least being able to. We're still coming in to the building one day a week. We're still worshiping in an empty room, but we have some continuity. And I'll tell you, for my family, it's been hard. And we're a homeschooled family, so in some ways things haven't changed. But it's
and
difficult.
We're not.
Yeah, and your family's in another stage altogether. With you've got teenagers, you've got older kids, so
that might be a good question. Just put in the chat for our people. What's been hard for them? I still have the chat pulled up, so
yeah, there you go. Yeah,
get in on the discussion. What's been hard for you out there?
Those challenges. I think about some of the challenges as well. I heard somebody say this week, were we on a Zoom call together maybe? Someone said, I've never worked so hard to get so little done. I said, I feel that. Mm. I feel that working so hard to get so little done, suffering from the lack of maybe boundaries. So life, work, home is all in one place, and spending a lot of time with my family, but still, you know, work is right there. So you're just always on, always something to do. I think we all kind of struggle with that. Ministry in general lends itself to bleeding into everything. Yeah. But I think a lot of our jobs do that. I mean, it has a tendency to bleed into other areas.
Sounds like a good sermon series there, William.
What would that
this
be?
Is over. Boundaries.
Boundaries. Yeah. Boundaries. Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely.
How about this? What has any surprises for you guys? Like, what's been surprising for you in the midst of this?
You know, I was thinking about that, and in regard to the church, it's been pretty surprising to me that attendance has remained steady through this whole thing. And really, I see God's hand in that, because only 2 weeks before March 15th, our first live stream service, we had finally gotten some live stream capacity in place for our nursery.
Yeah,
we'd been working on that for a whole year.
No intention of doing any kind of live stream.
And I was laughing at the robotic, you know, 2 weeks before, and then boom, it became like the way we were going to worship for. We still don't know how long, but the Lord was gracious to us too, and there have been some people working very hard to allow this possibility. I want to shout out a thanks to them.
Yeah, we keep saying that because, you know, the three of us are overwhelmed enough just with our job, church, you know, but you have volunteers who are overwhelmed with their day job and then coming and doing so much work in here to make it happen. And you're right. It was wonderful that there were so many things. The ball was moving before this pandemic happened, and that was, we benefited big time from that. Tim, what about you? Any surprises?
One has been the length of this. I mean, we can remember back how long would it be, and here we are, and now we're like, how long is this going to continue?
So how long, Lord?
How long, and just how much, you know, the stay at home order. Like, I didn't really see that coming, so that has surprised me. It looks like people are missing people on the chat and hugs.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, We're going to have to be careful about that when we do open the doors back up. You're probably still not going to be able to hug. So just put that out there right now.
Well, we were meant for, you know, I think this is one of the things that, I hope coming out of this, we have a deeper appreciation for relationship, for community. We take those kind of things for granted. And when it's taken away, and I hope that's one of those enduring things that moving forward, that we have a deep sense of community out of it. I feel like, in some ways, I feel even more, we feel connected because we have this common experience that we're going through, yet at the same time, it's just deeply, deeply disconnecting. You don't know how folks are doing. I can't, the lack of physical presence, we're suffering from that. And I'm wondering, what are the long-term effects for that for us? Is that why I feel the angst that I do? I can't put my finger on it, but maybe it is that lack of being rooted in community. Physical community. Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast this week, and something really struck me, and they said, at this time, you cannot overinvest in friendships. And I thought, isn't that striking? You know, often during, we get so busy with the programs and with activities, going out to eat. We were talking about this with my wife and my brother-in-law last night. You know, people have learned about home cooking. People have had to, sit down with their families and evening after evening. And of course, that brings certain challenges, but it hopefully will be some good things too. And we've enjoyed all kinds of great times around food together. And I think, you know, the friendships, you know, who are the friendships I can invest in? Because you cannot over invest in friendships at this time. This is important.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, that we're sowing, we're tilling the soil for what's beyond this as well. Yeah, that's good. I think one thing that has surprised me is just the beauty of the simplicity of everything. I mean, I feel like we're working so hard, but on the other end, there's not a lot of decisions to make, right? There's no youth sports. There's no, we're not running a million different places. It's just there is a simplicity in that. And that might be hard to go back. I don't know. Where we've got meetings everywhere and something to do every night of the week. How about anything you're learning? What are you learning in the midst of this?
I've been reading John Piper's book, Coronavirus and Christ.
That's good. I've read that, yeah.
Christ and Coronavirus. Which
it's Christ
way?
And heard, Coronavirus.
Christ
yeah.
and Coronavirus. I can
That's
never remember.
That's a great free book.
Free book. Free book. Someone in our home group passed it on.
One afternoon, yeah.
And he, you know, I was reading on Friday, and it really struck me. Jesus' disciples come to him, and they say, you know, all these people got crushed when the tower fell. Was it some kind of sin they committed? And Jesus says, do you think they committed some kind of sin? He said, unless you also repent, you will perish. And it's kind of, John Piper brings out the fact that the ugliness of the virus should force us to recognize the ugliness of our sin that's caused a condition of this nature, that the physical sickness can be a stark reminder of what our sin looks like to God and how ugly it is. And do we get as upset about our sin as we do about the devastation that the virus is causing worldwide? And I thought, wow, that was kind of a striking image to me, something I'm still kind of just chewing on
still
now.
Still processing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim, any big ahas or things you're learning in general?
Well,
in the midst of this,
I think the pace of life, for sure. As you know, in ministry, we have a really just a huge pace of always moving from one thing to the other, and I'm realizing that maybe I don't have to quite do everything.
As much, yeah.
Much, and I mean that's been one thing I've just enjoyed about this is being home at night.
I've reflected on that too, that I've, in some ways I feel I've never been busier, yet at the same time, I feel just as accessible to my family because we're not, don't have to drive to a meeting. I'm not out every night of the week. You're just there Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's something to think through, and what's a good pace for our church and our families, and, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
how can we help them with that, and how can we grow through that together? So, yeah. That
and it forces you to figure out what's most important.
What's
right?
most
that you're
important.
You're going to hold on to what's most important.
That's right.
So my family, we drove down to Slaughter Beach, my old stomping grounds, to see my mom for the first time in the midst of this virus. Sat out on the beach, all got sunburned in an effort to socially distance. But my wife and I had a good conversation on the way down of just thinking, you know, what's God doing in the midst of that? A Piper lists some good things, but. And Delaware, where I live, of course, church is in Pennsylvania, but everywhere there's this there's these categories of, like, what's life essential and what's not, and how does the government decide what's essential and what's not? And we were processing that, you know, that's probably not a bad thing for all of us to be, like, it forces you to think, like, is this essential or not? Mm-hmm. To be able to see that higher purpose for all of what we're doing. And the government might say that you're working in an industry that's not life essential, and that might not necessarily be true, but it forces us to do that mental work to say, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is that most important kind of thing? And it takes a crisis like this to reveal what's most important. Mm-hmm. I think for me as well, it's you know, this crisis pulls back the window into my heart that like the issues that I have aren't any different than the issues I had last year.
Right.
Yeah. The crisis just brings it out. I've always been.
Yes.
Control's a big thing. I want to be in control. You take this out. Well, it's interesting being able to put my finger. Like, I wouldn't have said approval is a big idol of mine, but when.
You get how many views per week, Billy?
you track it, we're tracking that, or just in our position, you feel like every decision that you make is scrutinized and not all bad, but are you driven by that? Or just preaching, or, you know, us interacting with a camera screen Sunday morning, it's nice to know, are people sleeping? Are they laughing? Are they paying attention? And you don't get that feedback, and so it's bubbling up those things that were probably honestly there all the time. Okay, one more question here. Maybe we're already kind of going there, but you know, what are the blessings? What's the good stuff you see coming out of this? We've already kind of hit on that, but maybe anything else you want to say, either for you personally or for Cornerstone or for just the church in general? What's the blessing? What's the good stuff that we don't want to miss in the midst of this?
Yeah, it's interesting. This is the second time I've been in quarantine. The first time was after terrorist attacks in South Asia, and all the foreigners were, you know, told you cannot walk outside. You must be in a covered vehicle. You can't walk. You can't ride in a public transportation where you'd be exposed.
We haven't talked about this at all.
No.
Okay.
And it was a lot harder then, and there were a lot of fears because it was a terrorist attack, and there were all these fears. Now, that's not to say that coronavirus hasn't also brought out fears. I think in our church, I think it's especially as it's touched closer in recent times. But I think one of the blessings, I think, has been being able to walk outside. You know, yes, we're allowed to go to the parks. In some other countries of the world, they have to register with the police even to go to a park. You know, and we complain a lot about America, we love our freedoms, and we complain a lot, you know, that we feel restricted, we feel locked in, shut down, and all this. But we still have so many freedoms. The last three weekends, our family has gone and enjoyed time on our bicycles. We went out to, yesterday we went into the Goddard Park, and they have these trails, and, well, we found we were spending most of our time lifting our bicycles over these giant trees that had fallen with a windstorm, but nevertheless, it was fun. It was a bonding experience as a family. We had a great time, and just enjoying the outdoors and not being afraid. So that's been a big blessing at this time.
How long were you in quarantine in Southeast Asia? How long did that last?
It was It was more than 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time.
So 6 months of just...
Yeah, now we could go places, but...
A lot of restrictions.
A lot of restrictions.
Yeah.
A lot of folks were sent home to their country, the foreigners were sent home at that time.
Tim, what about you? Thinking about the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously family time. You know, Anna came home from college early. You know, Amy's been home, you know, so just being with the family, obviously, and being outside, too. Mm. Like, we've gone on more family walks in the last month.
So many. We know what our neighborhood looks like. I've been there for 7 years.
I feel sorry for our dog, Cody, because he thinks that we're home all the time and we go on walks every day, and that's just not reality.
He's going to have a rude awakening.
A big shock.
Yeah.
And also... it's the ways you can bless people. Like, I feel like little things mean more. Like, we packaged a birthday box up for my mom and dad. They just celebrated their birthdays, and Julie put a whole bunch of pictures in there. And, I mean, they're still looking at them. That was, like, 3 weeks ago. And it doesn't take much to really make someone's day, you know, in this kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I've seen a few of you in person from a distance, and I think everyone has said it is so nice to see someone not my family. You know, to see another face in person, not beyond a computer screen, and they think, yeah, wow, that's what a blessing that is.
Absolutely.
Now, Tim, you early on, we were scrambling, trying to figure out how to do church. In some ways, we're still figuring that out, and there's a balance that we were trying to find what's most important. We don't want to keep people busy with Zoom meetings every night of the week. And your big thing early on that helped us was, we want to turn responsibility over more and more to the parents and more over to the family units and let them really take the lead in discipleship, which is what we should be doing.
Right.
Anyway, we can get lazy. I can get lazy. Depend on my wife to do things, or depending on Sunday school and all those things. And when that's stripped away, and I'd say that's one of the things I hope endures. Like, you know, particularly, hey, let me talk to the men and to the husbands, to the dads right now. Y'all need to stand up, right?
This is leading
your family in worship, leading your family in that kind of, just real engagement with the Lord. And this is the time to do that, because you can't go anywhere else.
Right.
I'd say I'm still learning that. I'm still learning.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because Colleen just asked, how has what you are learning changed your long-term goals? And that's something, you know, what is discipleship and how do I help families? You know, that's more important than, you know, me being at the top.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
I want the parents to be at the
that's
top
right.
And
that's
then
right.
lift the families up. Yeah.
And I think Cornerstone has always had that ministry mindset of ministry flows from relationship. It flows from relationship. It's not about program. Even more so, we'd say it flows from relationship within the home. That's what we want to empower, and it takes men, I think, stepping up. I mean, everyone stepping up, but dads, husbands, stepping up and leading your family. And I don't mean to be leaving out single people and others that aren't meeting that criteria, but. It's taking place in our home, is all I'm saying. It takes place in our home. Anything on those?
People are just sharing their blessings now, opportunities to share the gospel, more family time, getting closer to home group, spreading joy to others, the blessing of having husbands work from home and seeing children all day. So a lot of the same stuff we've been saying.
I like that home groups. I hadn't heard that. I think it's been, that's another thing that surprised me, is that all our home groups kept going by Zoom. And to me, that was very encouraging that it's a meaningful enough relationship that people wanted to continue with this. And I know a number of home groups, including ours, have started meeting more regularly during this time. So that's great. I think it's been an encouraging thing and surprising.
Yeah. You know, and if we could just begin to even sow that seed as we look down the road to what church looks like in the future, we see the importance of home groups, small groups, house church, whatever you want to call it, as being so important when we have all these number restrictions in place.
Yes.
And for good reason that we have these number restrictions in yeah. place.
Yeah, and that was another question. Are you guys having a church reopening plan? And I said, hey, we're working on that, and that's it. We're going to be talking about that a lot.
Yeah,
this
I mean
week.
That's been a live yeah. discussion amongst us. I mean, nearly every week we're the Delaware's opening up a little bit more. Maryland's opening up a little more, but we're in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania still under that red, yellow, green plan. Governor Wolf opened up. I think the majority of the counties in Pennsylvania will be opened on May 22nd in some degree, maybe the yellow phase or something moving towards that. Chester County, as we expected, part of the southeast quadrant, still in the stay-at-home order. But what we're working is trying to figure out, okay, but what can we do with shelter at home? What does that look like? What does it look like when we get to yellow? We are very eager to figure that out. Yeah. But, you know, we don't want to, we're not moving, we don't make any decisions out of fear fear in any direction. We're trying to keep our ears to the ground, obey the civil authorities, trying to make those good decisions. But yeah, right now we're just stay at home. So that's what it is. Yeah, I'll say while he's looking through that, I've really enjoyed time with you guys. This has really become our nucleus, and we were building out a pastoral team, I guess, if you will, before all this.
Yeah.
But this has just been so just so life-giving for me. We're in the weeds of each other's lives and making those decisions and trying to have, you know, good dialogue around all that, and it's been great. And I get to see you guys in person once.
It's nice.
A week.
Yeah, yeah.
And these other guys here.
See our tech guys. We've been saying
this. Got to get them on the camera.
This is our house church right here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just people saying they need the patience. You know, our hearts are exposed at home as well. Just like what you were saying.
Yeah.
You know. Can't take that away. so it is a good time to learn. What are your tendencies, you know?
Yeah.
I know I like comfort, so part of this has been playing right into my idol, because, oh, I don't have to go anywhere. Good, I can yeah. stay up late and play games and eat chips, you know, and get fat. We have to remember what the Lord's calling us to do, even in this time, and we still have to put off the old and put on the new every day.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. Amen. Amen to that.
Good.
Well, we'll if I could certainly address any sermon questions if they're there. If not, we'll move quickly towards wrapping this up. Or any other questions you have for Dave or Tim?
And there was a comment about I think I told you this, that maybe the Lord waited so long to rescue Peter so he could share the gospel with the guards.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was there long enough to be able to do that work.
Sure. What's the first question they ask? What are you in here for? You know, I mean,
yeah, right.
Why are you so chained up? You must be a serial killer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You're what?
Yeah, there we go.
A follower
okay.
of the way. What,
all right.
What is this?
What and is I'll this preach way? The application here for us, right? That we have our eyes so set on. We got to get back, and let's not miss what God's doing.
Mm.
Yeah. In the meantime.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
In that, and yeah.
Yeah.
And I think maybe one of the closing thoughts I'd lead is, we've all articulated this in our groups outside of this, but just how important it is to let the Lord be working in our own hearts, that we can't feed others with what we ourselves haven't been gripped by, and that's in part of, you talked about investing in friendships or relationships right now. It's also, you know, really being real with those idols, those things that are coming up,
yeah.
and letting God work us over, because I can't pass on to others what isn't true, what isn't real for me. And so this is the time, I think, for us to, I mean, really, let the grace of Jesus wash over us, be serious about dealing with those things, and Yeah, I like whatever that person said, that we feel exposed at home. Yes, there is that. I'm exposed. Things are ripped open. And what do you do when that's ripped open? Do I run and hide? That's what I want to do.
Yep.
I want to just put on the.
That's right.
Put up the walls. But it's let the grace of the Lord come in and experience that healing and move forward with Him. So.
Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
Just like to see an outside service.
Hey, we're ready for that. Whoever said that, we're ready to do an outdoor service.
So,
We're making very practical plans on that, but can't do anything right now. So
that's it.
Okay. Well, thanks for sticking around. This has been good. Enjoy this. It was nice to see you up here, Tim.
Thanks for having me. And happy birthday to Maddie Smith out there. Maddie Smith's birthday today, so. Give her a little shout out.
Nice.
Okay, can we finish with go sign up for our Psalm 91 challenge? We're only halfway through the month of May. We have 2 more weeks left. You can memorize 16 verses or part of it.
That's right.
So sign up. Let's do this.
That's right.
Let's do this together. Okay. All right. Excellent. Have a good Sunday. Rest. Go outside. It's wonderful.